This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop free of charge. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens.
I've traded emails with Joachim Lopes for at least a couple of years now, and he's been telling me about his company 4UC and its efforts providing software and services to the Latin American digital signage market. He was at Integrated Systems Europe in Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago, and when we finally met in person, I suggested we grab a quiet spot and do a podcast. The company is based in Brazil, but also does work in other countries. We had a good chat about the marketplace and his company's products and services, including an interesting creative tool. I picked up one whopper of a bug at or after ISE, so my voice on this intro probably sounds a bit rough, to say the least. My edit guy is also on holiday, so I'm hacking this episode together myself. Back to more polished work next time.
Joachim, tell me about your company.
Okay, 4UC is a CMS company in the digital signage business. Mm-hmm. We have been working with this product since 2010, but things get more interesting in the last 3 to 4 years, where the market in our country and the countries around got more mature. So our deployments are mainly in Brazil, mm-hmm. but since 2015 we started selling to other countries in Latin America, mm-hmm. like Peru, Colombia, Chile, and also Mexico. Mm-hmm. And nowadays we have offices in Mexico City, and mm-hmm. also in Bogota. We have 4UC people in these places, and we are now pushing these markets. Mm-hmm. We have done a lot of deployments in 2017, mainly in retail. Mm-hmm. We work for 4 of the 5 companies, mobile phone companies that exist that operate in Brazil.
Yeah.
Some of them directly, the other ones through integrators.
Okay.
And we also do a lot of things in the business of cinemas. We have a lot of integrations. That's one of our differentials. It's very easy to connect 4UC to different databases, data sources. So it's a very straightforward solution to integrate and put everything from everywhere in the space.
So everything will be dynamic?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And using the APIs, we can have everything automated. So most of the operation where you can, instead of drag and drop content in the CMS interface, we can have robots doing all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's possible to have the operation without any login the platform for weeks.
So what would a cinema be doing? How would they be using it?
Pardon?
What's the cinema doing? What are you seeing?
Okay,
on the screen?
It's in the cinema lobbies. Mm-hmm. So for example, we have screens in the ticket office, so it's integrated everything about pricing, about the
show times,
etc. And also in the bars, in the cinema lobbies, you have price integration, you have stock verification. So if you have any product that's not available anymore, it mm-hmm. can be.
So it's just going to disappear off the system?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Exactly. And in cinemas, we have one interesting benefit that we can use 4UC synchronization between all the screens. Mm-hmm. So you can create situations when you have a blockbuster and you want to promote it. So you can have all the screens exhibiting things about these movies, and it's very lightweight, so you mm-hmm. don't need to change any infrastructure.
Right.
And it's everything controlled through signals, network signals, and each player has its own content and they are only synchronized. And it works With old hardware, you don't need to change anything. It's very light, and so it's very good in Latin America countries where there are kind of less investments. You have taxes that are higher than other countries, so that's been an opportunity.
So you're based outside of Sao Paulo?
Yeah, our headquarters is in Belo Horizonte, but I live in Sao Paulo since 2015. Mm-hmm. I moved to there to be closer to the main clients.
Yeah.
Most of the decisions of the big projects are taken in Sao Paulo.
Right.
That's why I'm living there, and we have a sales office there.
Mm-hmm. And how large is your company? How many people?
We have 32. Nowadays,
okay.
Yeah, but it was like 16 in the beginning of 2017, and now we have 8 new positions. I believe we will get to the end of the year with about 50 to 60 people.
Wow.
We are doing the number of licenses is the double every year.
So where are you at now?
We are about 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you think you need to be at? Wow. You'd like to be at 100,000, I'm sure, but
yeah.
Is there a point when the business is really ticking along nicely?
Yeah, we don't have an official number, mm-hmm. an official market number, but we keep monitoring the competitors, and mm-hmm. we believe with about, when we were 5,500, we were already the biggest in Brazil mm-hmm. in terms of license from
yeah.
a CMS company. And when we get about 12,000 to 13,000 mm-hmm. in Latin America, we'll be the biggest in Latin America also, because there is no other company that has a single company with all these deployments
right.
in terms of CMS.
Right. Is it privately held?
Pardon?
Is it your company, or is it? Is there an investor group that owns
the
company?
We have been bootstrapping until now. We don't uh-huh. have any investors. Now we are raising some money to keep pushing in other countries to keep the growth rate.
Right. So. And what were you doing prior to this, and why did you start 4UC?
Oh, we started 4UC. We first developed the first prototype about 2006. We used it to do other things in the company, other kind of developments, other products. But in 2006, my partner was waiting for a flight in Chile and saw some implementation of screens about to display flight information.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was not really automated. He asked a lot of questions for the guy that was implementing. Some of them he could not answer, he didn't know. But when my partner got to our office, he told me what he saw, and mm-hmm. we discussed it about how could we make that go through the network. Then we developed a prototype, but we couldn't really sell that in Brazil that time because the screen pricing was very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took about 2 to 3 years so we could see bring the project to the table again, and then we started selling. Still very difficult. We didn't know the digital signage words that time,
mm-hmm.
but we went to Google and we saw that there was an event in the US, the DSE. Then we went to there in 2010 the first time, and then we saw the companies that were already there and the concepts about the CMS that we have been developing
mm-hmm.
were exactly the same, something very similar.
Yep.
And we had something that they didn't do at that time, they had things that we didn't have also, but our benchmark was a way positive because we were in the correct way, I believe.
There are any number of North American companies, primarily U.S. companies, who've try to project their business into Latin America, I would say with pretty middling success. I would say Scala historically had a substantial reseller channel there. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Is it difficult for a US or Canadian company or even a European company to try to do business in that region?
No, it's not really very difficult. We have been experiencing strong competition for all these years. And some of them do it the right way, in my opinion, that's having a white label reseller. Mm-hmm. Some of them didn't have success because they were trying to push the market through integrators. So most of the clients are integrators, and one integrator don't buy from the other because they are competitors. But the problem with them is the way, if there is a problem, I would say that's the way they support clients in Latin America. That's another key differential of us. We have a very low churn rate in our business. For what you see, doesn't lose clients. And from that, we believe that in the first months is the most important phase where you need to give all the support. Mm-hmm. And after that, the clients get comfortable with the platform, and they go by themselves, and there is the whole thing of automation that I told you.
Right.
So they get in a kind of cruise flight. So it's
not working for the integrators because they're selling them the software and not supporting it or not even really knowing they've sold them.
Yeah, the integrators that bring a brand for US or Europe to Latin America, they are more concerned about implementing their projects than selling the licenses.
Right.
Okay, that's the problem. So if you have an integrator that's trying to push licenses, mm-hmm. he can be losing some integration business, and
right.
he won't make things easy to the competitors. And the competitors won't buy from them because they want their competitor to know what they are doing.
So right.
That's a point. For us, it's good, these misunderstandings. So we have a very straightforward business model. We say no to everything that's not related to our main goals. And from that, we have been increasing our base almost 2 times every year. Mm-hmm.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
I seem to recall when first got in touch with you or first connected that you had a fair amount of content creation work that you guys did. Do I have that right?
Yeah, we have 4UC Designer. That's a very easy to use HTML5 content creation tool for digital signage. When we created 4UC Designer, the main idea is that we should provide a tool for really end user. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't need to know nothing about about content creation
right.
at all. Just to put things, put images and videos close to each other, like the PowerPoint experience. Mm-hmm. That was the idea.
Yeah.
We intended to create the PowerPoint for digital signage, but from that, we have the baseline for a very powerful templating systems. Mm-hmm. So from designer, you can assign dynamic fields to fetch data from almost everywhere with you almost don't need to write any code. So it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good tool, and it can be used for simpler projects, like a standalone tool. You don't need to integrate it to the CMS. It generates an URL that you can use it.
And is that part of the overall offer? So when you subscribe to 4UC, you just get that too, or is it an additional service that you pay for?
It's an additional service, because for some kind of integrators, some mm-hmm. kind of clients, where they have a content authoring team, maybe designer is not so essential to them,
right.
and some of them doesn't use 4UC Designer, and it's an open format tool, so it generates HTML5. So if you want to create your own HTML, mm-hmm. it's okay. We don't have a proprietary format. So
right.
if you follow some rules, mm-hmm. you can create your HTML from scratch or using another tool.
Yeah.
And after that, just doing some small adjustments, it's compatible with 4UC.
Can you use Designer separately, even if you don't have a subscription to the mothership, so to speak?
Yeah, you can. You can use 4UC Designer, for example, to generate dynamic menus. It generates a URL that you can put in your website.
Mm-hmm.
It's interactive. You can send dynamic information through parameters in the URL, so you have a lot of control. It's a very simple to use tool. A tool, and it's very powerful at the same time.
What's the cost?
It's about the most complete plan is about $700 a year.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. And is that unlimited?
Yeah. You have if you are using as standalone, you have some data transfer and storage limits.
Okay.
But they really are not very meaningful if you're using it combined with 4UC Manager.
Yeah.
Because you will deploy the content through 4UC Manager service. You won't be
right.
the client base won't be downloading the content from 4UC Designer server.
Mm.
You have a kind of a bridge through 4UC Manager.
Right. And obviously your great preference is you want them using 4UC Manager as well. You want
sure.
the account.
Yes, but from our experience,
mm-hmm.
Many times clients come interested in one tool, and we really don't try to push everything at the mm-hmm. very first moment, because we want to help the client to go in its speed pace.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when he discovers the tool, see the potential, then we keep offering one thing else.
Right.
Okay, test this integration, see if it has value to you. Oh, it doesn't have. Okay, keep right where you were. But in this model, we can do a kind of upselling to the clients, but in a good pace.
And for Manager, are you paying a subscription or are you paying a flat fee?
Oh, the main business model is a monthly fee
okay.
for Player.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't pay for Manager actually, but you pay for the number of
per players. So what do you pay them?
But the pricing is embedded in the manager pricing is embedded in the license.
Right. So what would you pay a month for like a small volume?
For a small volume, we begin at $24, but it decreases really fast.
Right, $24 US.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's the Latin American price base. Mm-hmm. That's it. Final price. So we have channel policies, so they have better price, so they can sell to final clients.
It is. Because they're, you were mentioning before we started, there are local taxes and everything else, and the economies are very different from country to country. Is it a challenge to sell and operate in that region?
Yes, it's been. We have been facing some challenges, but there is really nothing to do in terms of that. We have to be competitive. Mm-hmm. The base price. Because in different countries, different rules apply. Mm-hmm. So the companies that are doing everything correctly by the book, the integrators, they will have to pay taxes after paying us. So
right.
And we pay our taxes in Brazil for everything we sell in Brazil or abroad. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, there is some different rules, and sometimes we realize that something new rule that we didn't know, and we keep learning, but we are investing a lot in deploying in implementing projects in other countries. Mm-hmm. We believe that there is a good market.
Is there an approach or a way things look on screens in different countries that's noticeable? The way the messaging is handled, it's more subtle, it's more vivid. There's more text, or it's got to be all images, or things like that. Or is what you see in Europe and what you see in North America pretty much just a variation of what you see in your region?
No, I believe that it's not a really big difference between the way the companies communicate in Europe or in our region. Mm-hmm. What's different really is the volume of implementations and the size of screens, basically. I believe display technology gets cheaper first in Europe or US than mm-hmm. in our countries. And that's why we go with some delay, but it's happening. The difference, for example, when we do a big implementation in our country, it takes longer in order to have massive deployment.
Right.
In a network of stores, for example, we usually start with maybe 10 to 15% of them before getting the 80 to 90% or even 100%. And it takes maybe 2 to 3 years. And I can see that in other projects outside Latin America countries, that this time box is a way shorter.
Mm-hmm. So you've come all the way from outside of Sao Paulo, you live in Sao Paulo, to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Why are you here at ISE? What are you looking for? Are you looking to build up business relationships, or are you more here to have a sense of the latest technology?
Oh, the main goal in being here is to build partnerships, even to sell to Latin America countries. Mm-hmm. Even though it's so far from where we live, it's a good opportunity because a lot of people come to here. It's easier to come to here than traveling to 5-6 different countries. So mm-hmm. we meet a lot of people here. Also to some final clients are looking for technologies, and our partnership network is usually working for us also. They are introducing people to us. Okay, I'm selling this place for this company. I told them that they could try for you. See, here is the CEO. Okay, and then we schedule a presentation. We schedule a trial with them. So that's the main goal. And also, we are introduced to companies in Europe, for example. It happened twice here, that are facing any kind of tech problems, and they need some very specific solutions for very specific platforms. Like, we had a very big network of players, but the computer, the hardware is embedded in another thing, and they have a very limited computer power, and they are not being able to solve that with the technology that has been offered to them. And I believe we'll solve that, because we are very lightweight, because of the limitations in hardware that we face in our projects.
Right.
So it's an opportunity to come to Europe with a big project, instead of just coming and start pushing, to have a successful project to use as a kind of reference.
And this is your first time coming to ISE?
In ISE, yes.
What's your impression?
Oh, I liked it a lot, because you have all the technologies for digital signage and other not very related things, but everything in the same place, everybody. So I liked it a lot. I was surprised with the size of the trade show. It's really impressive. And everybody's here. Everybody's looking at here during this week. So it's very good to be here to meet people. And it has been a very good opportunity.
Right. Is there a particular type of technology that you've run across that has caught your eye and got you thinking?
Pardon, I didn't understand.
Is there certain types of technology, like there's all these LED, fine pitch LED screens here, all the LCD stuff is getting even skinnier and lighter, and everything's got system on chip built into it. Is there stuff that you've seen that has really sort of got you excited or intrigued?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of improvements in the SoC monitors in the last years. It's a kind of a new thing since 2007, but it's now really getting usable for important projects, even though it has some limitations. We have our player for the SoCs from LG and Samsung, but when they use that as an opportunity to deploy big projects using integrator technology, it's very good for us. But sometimes they go directly to the final client, and that's not really good. But in terms of technology,
what do you mean by that? Like they're going to them and saying, we have software instead of?
Yeah, a lot of times they do that. The speech when they talk to us is one thing. When they go to the market, it's another thing. Okay,
so that never happens.
it happens all the time, but that's the market. We need to we need to survive to it. No, not to try to change them,
right,
but to be beside them and to surf the wave with them.
Right.
There are a lot of opportunities. It's good to see how fast the industry of LEDs evolving. Prices are getting low every year, and that's a very important thing, because we have a lot of implementations nowadays with LED, and when they get more robust, cheap, and the quality increases, it's very good for the projects, the clients. They feel encouraged to do more things.
Yeah.
So that increases our the size of our market. Mm-hmm. So
Are you seeing much in the way of deployments of fine pitch LED in Latin America?
Yes.
Other than advertising?
Yes. We have all the big brands in the world are in Latin America,
yep.
in the shopping malls, in Dutch free stores, in the airports. So they are everywhere, and they are investing a lot on the display thing. So there's a lot of fine pitch displays in Latin America already.
So you mentioned that you're in the throes of raising capital. You're likely to be hiring more people and getting up to 50. What else is going on in the next 12 to 18 months for your company?
Yeah, we are consolidating our business in Latin America.
What do you mean by that? You're buying other companies?
Not really buying, but building partnerships with the ecosystem. So
okay.
for example, we have some companies that sell a lot of face recognition technology
okay.
or car detection in outdoor spaces. And so they help us to sell more. Also the hardware companies, we are certifying our software to major hardware companies that sells overseas, every part of the world. So they are kind of sales channels for us, and that's what I mean about consolidating and having a physical presence in the most important countries in Latin America. We'll be hiring more people for Chile, Argentina, and also we are already have people in Colombia and Mexico, but we'll improve that. And also the back office work, we have Colombians working in Belo Horizonte today for support in native language to these guys. We have just hired marketing people from Latin America, and we are hiring outbound sales people for Latin American markets.
Right.
So we are talking to them in their language, and we have been translating a lot of documentations and creating video tutorials in Spanish.
Right.
So this is making a huge difference in the way we approach the clients compared to European or US-based companies.
I think when we first made contact, you were looking at expanding and building up business in North America. Is that something that you're still trying to do, or have you realized it's so crowded, why am I doing this?
Yes, what happened is that we reviewed our strategy and saw that we should get stronger in our place first before going to the US. Okay, that's what we've been doing. We are increasing our presence where we are stronger than the competitors from abroad. So but I believe we'll be facing this challenge in the US within the next 12 to 18 months. But before that, we'll be consolidating in Latin America first.
Right.
That's the idea.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about our business.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.